Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be traveling the world. Ah, yes. We're going to share part of a journey with a woman that before we went on the air, I said to her, you are one gutsy gal. Why? Because she dared to do what so many people would say, no, that's foolish, it's stupid, don't do it. There'd be all kinds of negatives that would be associated with her conception of what it is that she wanted to explore. What was that? It was herself. My guest today is Kathy Anderson. She has a powerful book called Change Your Shoes, Live Your Greatest Life. Now, you guys listening may say, change your shoes? This, please, Donna, is this for real? Uh-huh. It really is for real. And guys as well as gals, I think you'll be inspired by this lovely woman. Kathy Anderson, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks so much. It's wonderful to speak with you.
Well, I know my audience, but just by hearing your accent, knows that you're from Australia. But, Kathy, you're a woman that decided to dare. You are a woman, as I said, that was gutsy. You went on a journey that took you 10 years, enabled you to explore. Your image of changing your shoes, changing your life, yours was changing from hiking from high heels to hiking boots. Now, that's not very glamorous when one would say that, but you also had to confront a great deal of personal fear and darkness in your own life that you had lived through. And that's what your book is about, because you decided you were going to become the explorer. Today your life is so much richer because of it, and you're able to share it with others. How were you ready to recognize that you wanted to put this book together?
Well, you know, Donna, what really happened was, throughout my journey, as I shared different aspects of my journey with people, whether it was literally changing my corporate high heels for hiking boots, or, you know, whether it was finding myself in the midst of, you know, national parks, hiking glaciers, out in the wilderness, camping under the stars, in some of the richest and poorest countries in the world, you know, people would be fascinated by the choice that I made to do that. And probably more importantly was that when I shared some of the reasons behind why I made that initial change, which was that I just got to that place where I felt, despite climbing the corporate ladder successfully, despite having the six-figure income and the car and the house and the travel and so forth, that I was just missing something, that I just felt an emptiness. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know what it was. It was just a feeling that where I was wasn't right. And as I tell that story to people, it's extraordinary how many people just relate to that. You know, mm-hmm. How many people would say, that's exactly how I feel, and I just don't know how to take that next step. And in addition to that, when I shared that part of my background was being abused throughout my childhood, and I shared some of the trauma of that, really, and how that keeps you trapped, so many people told me stories of their own abuse, or of just being a victim in some way that they had never shared before. And all of a sudden, just by me telling my story, it opened doors for people who had never shared their story before. And once they shared that story, it was as though that in itself was a step closer to then saying, ah, well, how do I move beyond that? How do I take that first next step? Because sometimes that step feels so overwhelming. There feels like there's so many options and steps. And so just putting your finger on what's that first next step is sometimes the hardest. So when I found that by telling my story, I could open doors for other people to share their stories and help people take that, just that first next step today, and then another step tomorrow, and then another step tomorrow, without necessarily having all the answers. That's mm-hmm. what really compelled me to write the book and share the story.
Well, I think it's wonderful, because by writing the book, more people are going to be aware of how much what I call meat of experience and of thinking that you share. I love the quote that you started off in one of your chapters with. It's Dr. Seuss, "You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what to do, and you are the guide who'll decide where to go."
Isn't that a great quote? I love
that.
That
is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. And I thought, and that's from his book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. And I thought, this is a terrific way to start off your story, because it did take a lot of courage. And I liked when you said you were putting this book together. An 11-year-old girl said to you, "Don't tell me sky's the limit when there's footprints on the moon." What a powerful statement by an 11-year-old to an adult.
Isn't that great? And that's the beauty. I mean, we all have so much wisdom within us. Kids have so much wisdom. And we were all kids at some point, and we really have that within us. But, you know, I think as we get into our work and our life and we become overwhelmed with responsibilities and activities, that we really just lose sense of that inner wisdom and that inner voice and that inner compass that says, you know what, you don't have to stay in a place that doesn't feel right. You don't have to be satisfied with anything less than all you can be. So how do you place yourself in that space where you can just become more attuned to mm-hmm. those voices and more attuned to that wisdom that's there?
When you decided to embark on this journey, you had the equivalent of $6,000 American money.
Right.
And that isn't a heck of a lot of money to travel with. You decided you were going to go around the world. This was your original agenda. And you decided you were going to, and I'll quote from your book, you throw yourself out to the universe. But you said in your book, the plan of the universe often leaves your plan far behind. And I'm sure many of my listeners say, that resonates with me. Every time I start out on a particular journey and I think I've got my to-do list all in order, and by George, this is what I'm going to do, seems like somebody in the universe says, okay, it's time for the boomerang, let's throw it, boom. And you go, I really didn't want this, thank you very much. I need to complain to the customer service department because that isn't what my order was. And that is so often happening to people. You made an interesting comment about traveling in that you said you needed to be willing to be touched. And I thought that that was such a significant statement in your book because you used the word sensation. You're going to encounter different people, different cultures, different perspectives, and sensations that you, all kinds of them. And I think sometimes in our world we become stagnant because we get locked into what somebody presents on television or whoever's writing the script and their concepts, and we think that's real. And it takes stepping away from those limitations, which you did, and entering into the unknown. And one of the points you made also, you said in your book, quoting again, destruction and devastation can create beautiful and renewed life. And for you, especially in dealing with a lot of the effects of your younger years, that That's a powerful statement, because that's exactly what you've done. You've taken what has been ugly and festering like a sore within you for so long, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and you've healed it.
Right, and the extraordinary thing is I had no sense of that before I embarked upon my journey. It wasn't as though I said, you know, this is what I need to experience, and these are the places I need to go. And when I experience that and go to those places, then I'll feel like this. You know, then I'll feel healed, or then I'll feel, you know, I didn't know any of that. All I knew is that, you know, as I listened to you, you know, re-quote some of those words from my book, I had isolated myself, and I think we all isolate ourselves through the things that happen to us. Again, in my case, it was abuse, but for other people, it could be, you know, relationship breakdown. It could be work failure. It could be, you know, just the small things that happen on a day-to-day basis that make us just kind of close off from people and from feeling and from thirsting to be touched by the things that are around us. We become fearful of that. And I know for me it was safer to mm-hmm. live isolated away from anything that I thought could harm me rather than step into that and be terrified of it, be terrified of feeling, because all of the feelings that I had felt as a child only betrayed me. So I didn't trust anything, and I think often that's where, you know, we end up, is we're betrayed by what we feel, so we stop trusting, we close off, we feel isolated, and that just creates a downward spiral, and then life becomes like, you know, a faded piece of art where there's no life because we don't choose to allow life in. And I feel like that's really the simplest thing, yet I guess in many ways the hardest thing that I did. When I was 30 years old when I left Australia, when I swapped those high heels for hiking boots, and I just decided that I needed to let life in. I didn't know what form that was going to take. And you talk about the planning, as you read in my book, Donna, you know, I had always been a planner. I had planned my career, I had planned my work path, I'd planned one career jump to the other career jump, I'd planned where I wanted to have my house, I'd planned everything, and that's just the way my life worked, and that was comfortable and secure. And so I achieved more than really I had expected to achieve because I just followed my plan. And most of us, when we set a plan and we follow it, you know, we can get there and there'll be setbacks and so forth, but, you know, we can get there. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, in following a plan, what I discovered, the biggest irony of what I discovered was that we really do close off all of the opportunities that are outside that plan. Mm-hmm. Because I could never have planned, never in my wildest dreams, to have ended up in the places I ended up.
It's fascinating. Now, being Australian,
yes,
among the native Aboriginals, there is a term walkabout. Mm-hmm. And you say in the Australian Aboriginal culture, a walkabout is a spiritual quest that young Aboriginals have to go through. And they have to wake up to who they are. And here you are in your 30s, and you are, for all intents and purposes, doing your walkabout. And you have a quote in your book by His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama: "The secret to my own happiness, my own good future, is within my own hands. I must not miss that opportunity." And this is something that, in your making this choice, you really became aware of many, many parts of yourself, especially when you found that you were confronting a lot of issues of trust and of memories from the past when you had an abusive situation with your father that was just really bad. And you have a quote in here that is very powerful. And whatever harm an enemy may do to an enemy or a hater to a hater, an ill-directed mind inflicts on oneself a greater harm. And I read those words and I thought, this is a statement by Buddha. And that is one of the most self-destructive things that any of us can do. And yet how few of us really are aware that when we carry this hate, whether it's self-hate or hate for someone else, whatever it is, when we carry it around, it literally cripples us. And that is something that you became very, very much aware of. And one of the things I liked about your book is that when someone's reading this, because you tell it, your stories in a very warm way, it's like you're sitting across from someone and you're just saying, this is my experience. And at the end of each chapter, you have the wonderful, I'll call them exercises, you call them moments of pause. But if someone would do this for themselves, there's a lot they've become aware of about who they are. And I know you do speaking, but so this is something that you really, when you put this book together, you really gave a lot of thought about how you wanted people to discover themselves, not to be harsh judgers of themselves, but say it's okay for you to find out about these dark corners in your life and to bring them out so that they can be seen.
Exactly. And again, it was really just through my experience of, I knew as I was traveling around to different places that many people can't do that in the way I did it. But we can each choose to step into new places every day and find those moments of pause, those times and spaces for ourselves where we can just, you could go to a park, you could go to the beach at sunrise or sunset and just reflect, you know, on those questions that just get to, you know, what is the dream for your life? You know, what are the things that give you goosebumps and make you feel like a child? You know, what are those things that zap you of energy and make you feel lifeless? And just become in touch with those things. And it's so extraordinary for me, really, Donna, that you picked that quote about the ill-directed mind being our greatest enemy. You know, I found that quote in India around a temple, a Buddhist temple, by a garden where the Bodhi tree, a sapling from the Bodhi tree where the Buddha first found enlightenment. There was a tablet by that tree and it had that quote carved into it. And it was so extraordinary to find that quote, not in a book, but, you know, in this place. It was a small town called Sarnath in India. And it was so extraordinary to find that quote in that place, because I really think it is the core to so many things. And I think it's something that we can easily dismiss. You know, I think we can easily say to ourselves, oh, you know, my thoughts really can't make a difference because the things that are outside me are still outside me. And I can think all the wonderful things I want, but this thing is still going to be here tomorrow, or that issue is still going to be there. Mm-hmm. And it really takes a belief in the power of our own being to shift our thinking, to say, if we believe in whatever God or higher power people believe in, that when you see yourself as a seed of that, and you see your being as a piece of something much greater, then you start to really develop a reverence for your own being. You know,
and that's
not
something that a lot of people are encouraged to do. That's not something a lot of people are encouraged to do. But someone that did encourage you to become more aware of yourself is Lily Tomlin. The
yes.
Lily is quite a gal, and she is known for her comedy. She is just a woman that has this dynamic presence that is very unique. But what was so wonderful were your stories about how warm and friendly she was to you. And you met her not just once, but twice.
Exactly, yes. And I met her first in Seattle. And this is an example, Donna, of, you know, just when you open yourself to experiences and to people, that people touch your lives. And they give you in these, what I, you know, again, they're these small random acts of kindness that we can do for each other that really affect someone's life in the biggest way. And so when I was in Seattle, I went to see Lily Tomlin and in her The Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe. And I, at the end of the show, went to a security guard and I just asked, which is something sometimes we just don't do either. We just don't go out and ask for something that we want and say, you know what, if I get embarrassed, if they say no, oh, well, that's okay. So I asked the security, I said, look, I'm from Australia, I'm traveling around. Do you think it would be possible if I could just say hello to Lily Tomlin? And so he looked at me, he gave me a smile, he said, you wait right there and I'll be back. And he came back 20 minutes later and he said, Miss Tomlin will see you. So I went down and she gave me this big, big, big hug as soon as she saw me. And we chatted, and it was actually, as I write in the book, the first hug that I'd received in months of traveling. You know, and mm-hmm. and so that it just that experience firstly of feeling just that was again the significance when we allow ourselves to just be touched and open to other people. And then in my journal, after we chatted and she heard about my adventure and what was ahead and what I didn't even know was ahead because I really didn't have a plan, she just wrote in my journal, she said, Kathy, when you get there, there'll be a there.
Mm-hmm. A very profound woman. Now, you did meet her another time, but there was an interesting experience you had. At one point in your journey, you had thought you might end up going to Japan. But instead, the universe more or less said to you, no, that's not where you're going. You are going to go to Miami. You go to Miami, and this is wintertime. Miami's always a nice place to go to in the winter. The sun's out.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there, and all of a sudden, something opens up for you. Everything that you have been trained in, everything that you know, is going to be put to work. And in a million years, you would have never thought that this was going to happen to you. And it was called Shake a Leg. And Harry Hogan, or Horgan, excuse me, you called him the Walt Disney of Shake a Leg. And tell us about Shake a Leg. What is this? And how has he been able to achieve what Disney would have said might be considered an impossible dream? But he's associated with Disney. Tell us about Shake a Leg.
Well, Shake Your Leg is it was a nonprofit organization down in Miami, and it at that time was taking kids and adults with disabilities out sailing on Biscayne Bay, which is the beautiful bay around Miami. And these were kids who were either quadriplegic or paraplegic, on ventilators, had cerebral palsy, were deaf, were blind. All sorts of kids and adults with disabilities who really don't have a lot of options for socializing in recreational, wonderful, inspiring activities. And so Harry had actually been paralyzed himself at the age of 21. just after college, and he had found that sailing gave him a new lease on life, and so he started the Sailing Center for Kids with Disabilities. And I just happened to be literally passing through Miami for the weekend. I was, you know, the universe was just calling me down to the Caribbean somewhere, you know, that way. I wasn't too sure. I was passing through Miami for a weekend, met someone who volunteered at Shake a Leg, and they said, you know, you have to come to this place. It makes dreams come true. And so I went. And I took some kids out sailing because I did a lot of sailing in Australia. And I did that for a day, and the first group of kids I took out were actually not kids with disabilities, but they were a group of gang kids from Miami. And one of the things Shake a Leg also did is it took kids who were really left behind, left outside of society, and tried to bring them back in. And so I took these gang kids out, and again, as I tell the story in my book, Donna, my mother was quite worried that I was in Miami because all she heard in about Miami in Australia was about Miami Vice and drugs and crime and so forth. And so she was a little bit concerned that her daughter was just, you know, tripsing around Miami. And I called her that night and I said, Mom, you know, I took these kids out sailing on Biscayne Bay and it was so wonderful. And I said, they're actually gang kids. And she said, gang kids? And I said, they were gang kids. I said, but you know what? They were really great kids. And she said, but is that safe? I said, oh, it was perfectly safe, Mom. There was a Miami police officer on board with a gun, so it was fine.
That put her mind at ease, right.
Exactly. But, you know, it really is Shake a Leg. Really introduced me to the world of giving back through the work that we can do. And so I was really able to help, the organization grow and help to bring more and more kids to this organization. And that is what ended up taking me to Haiti because the co-founder of Shake a Leg, Bath Green, had an organization in Haiti who provided health to the poorest communities in Haiti. And as you know, Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the world. Mm-hmm. And this was before the earthquake. So I got involved in Haiti, and it just brought a humanity to my life and my world that I'd never experienced before.
You have so much in your book. Your book is just loaded with stories. You ended up going to Harvard. You graduated from Harvard. And this is as a mature woman, and you are determined that you're going to accomplish things. You end up traveling through Europe. Your story has so much to it. I know we just aren't going to have time to be able to cover it all, but I like one of the many quotes that you use in the book. This one is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Unless you try to do something beyond what you've already mastered, you will never grow. And I think that your journey is about that and much, much more. Here you are, a woman, a mature woman, that says, I am going to leave everything behind that the world says, as I know it, is what I'm supposed to be. You go on this journey of exploration. You are in this exploration patterning. Your adventures are there. The times when the dark shadows come out that you confront them. Your awareness of people, the goodness in them, the kindness, the awareness of you becoming the person you really are. You stretched yourself into brand new areas, and by doing that, you grew tremendously as a woman and as a human being, and I just think your story is awesome. The book is Change Your Shoes, Live Your Greatest Life. Kathy Anderson has been my guest. Kathy, your website is changeyourshoes.com. I know we're just about out of time. It has been a delight having you as a guest.
Actually, it's changeyourshoesnow.com, Donna.
Thank you for correcting me.
Changeyourshoesnow.com.
Changeyourshoesnow.com. It is a powerful book and well worth reading, and I'd say when you read it, have a highlighter in your hand so that you can note those areas that you can relate to. And the areas of the book where if you wanted to write your own experience, who knows, your experience, just like what Kathy has done with hers may inspire someone also. Kathy Anderson, thank you very much for being my guest again. Change Your Shoes, Live Your Greatest Life is a powerful testimonial to the spirit of one woman who was determined to find out who she really was. It's well done. Thank you, Kathy, for being my guest. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open, and if you would like to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone number to call into is toll-free, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you a comment that, well, maybe I'll pass it by for just a moment. I had misplaced it. There was something very special that I wanted to share with you that I found was in Kathy's book. Oh, here, I found it. Here, let me do it. Sometimes I put stuff aside and then I have a devil of a time trying to figure out where I put it. This is a quote. It says, "Your work is to discover your work. And then give, with all your heart, give yourself to it." Your work is to discover your work. And then, with all your heart, give yourself to it. That quote, to me, is so significant. And the reason I think it's significant is because so many times we take a positioning of discomfort, discouragement. We get aggravated, we get agitated, we blame people, things around us for different things that aren't right.
Caller, line three.
Thank you. I know we've got a caller on the line, so I'll get to you in just a moment. But what I think that quote is all about is that if we can take joy in the moment, if we can be present with who we are, where we are, and give whatever we've got our very best, we then are taking control of our personal situation. I think that that is one of many, many lessons that Kathy shared in her book. She really had to pay attention, being mindfully present with where she was. You'll hear me say that many, many times, and it's something I have to work at all the time. It's so easy to go into a flip-flop attitude. So when you're about your day-to-day, be mindfully present with where you are. Be grateful for your blessings, but be mindfully present, realizing you have dominion over your mind. There may be circumstances in your life you don't have dominion over in a moment, but your mind is your most powerful tool. Let's go to our first caller of the day. And by the way, for those of you listening, if you want to call in, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Lisa, and I'm calling from Green Valley in Arizona.
from Green Valley in Arizona. Gee, that sounds so nice. And I'm sure you're just barbecuing right now, because I remember Arizona in June and it was 115 degrees. And I swore my deodorant was never going to last more than 5 minutes. It was so hot. Are you cooking there in Green Valley?
But we have ways of keeping cool.
Oh, good. That's a good thing. I think when you live there, you adapt pretty well. And I'm sorry, dear, your voice cut out a little bit. So give me your first name or initial one more time.
Alisa?
Alisa, thank you. Okay, Alisa, the first thing that is coming into my mind with you is a standstill situation. Now, this isn't about your whole life. It's about a particular condition. And you're saying to yourself, I really want to make something move, and I have to chuckle. I'm getting this little movie in my head, and it's like you've got an old-fashioned cart, and the front part of the cart that would be attached to an animal to pull it is down in the ground. And the front part, every time you, and I'm seeing you behind the wagon, and you're pushing the wagon and pushing the wagon. It's got nice-sized wheels on it. But that one piece is down in the ground, and every time you push, it keeps getting embedded more and more in the ground. And I think, and as I'm being shown this image in my head, you need to really stop pushing so hard. And you need to be able to walk in front of your wagon, see what is anchoring you, lift it up, put it in a positioning where it's not going to interfere with you, and then you're going to be able to push. But the smarter thing is to get some assistance. And, of course, the imagery of the wagon is if you've got a horse, you got an ox, whatever it is, that's going to enable you to move more effectively and efficiently, because you don't want to be the one that's having to push and pull all the time, because it's going to take all your energy and your progress is going to be limited. So you need the assistance of other people so that you can guide and direct the action as it should be. So I think this imagery, this little mini movie that I got in my head, is just trying to give you an example that you're missing something. You're willing to work, you're pushing very, very hard, but something is blocking you, and it's right in front of you, but you can't see it because you're not walking away to really look at what it is that's keeping you from moving forward. Also, you need to be able to employ and to engage other situations or other people, I should say, so that you can see how you can be more effective and find the mode of energy that is going to get you where you want to go. So there is something you need to stop and observe that you really need to look at carefully and find out what it is that is blocking you. And you may need to brainstorm with some people, because sometimes we're so close to a situation. I'm seeing you in this imagery. You're behind the cart and you're just pushing. Well, if you're behind something and your head's down and you're really, really pushing, and you're just very determined, you're not going to be able to see what's going on in front of you. So you need to step away, move around, look at what the block is. See what it is, put the block into its proper place so it's no longer there, and then ask for help. You need some people to assist you. Do you have a question for me today?
Thank you very much for that.
I hope
do.
It made sense to you.
I'm sorry?
I said I hope it made sense to you.
Yes, it does, very much so.
Good.
I wanted to ask about a truck that I'm looking to purchase from a car dealership, and I have looked at their Carfax, and I'm going to take it in to a mechanic and have them look at it. And it's a really good deal. It's low mileage. It's a much older truck, but I'm looking at it as kind of a fun way to, and kind of a work tool. Do you see that as a good investment?
Well, it's not. Yes, it is going to be an investment. When you use that word, I think that's the appropriate word. But I wouldn't be too pushy on this. I really want to look at how it is going to be really utilized over the long term. Now, will you use a truck? Yes. But I do think you're trying to be conservative when it comes to money. So you need to look at what it is going to cost you to run it, maintain it, insurance, and that type of thing. And I know you're going to go through that anyway. But I really think that you have to ask yourself if this is really an expense that you want to add to what you're already carrying. And if you feel that this is comfortable for you, that's fine. It will, as you said, it is going to be an investment. It is an investment that is not necessarily going to bring back a return as you expect it to. But you might want to ask yourself, when you look at the information, is it worth it for you to buy this vehicle rather than maybe renting a vehicle whenever you really need something like that, so that you don't have all of these expenses from this vehicle on a regular basis every single month? If you wanted to have a truck, if you wanted to rent a truck, and maybe it cost you $150, $200 for the rental period, let's say you were going camping or you wanted to do something, even $500, when you look at what you're going to be paying out for this vehicle, you're never going to get the full return on this. Is this really what you want, or would it be better for you to rent something similar for a period of time when you need it? So that's all I would ask you to look at, to evaluate, because I'm seeing you working with a budget, and you're wanting to have a certain level of financial savings available to you. So just think about what I'm saying, and get out your calculator and work your numbers, and ask yourself, is this really something that is going to give you the return that you want financially? Or could you take that money that you otherwise would be putting in to that vehicle, insurance and everything else, figure it all out, and put that instead in the savings, and then occasionally going and renting a vehicle to do what you want to do?
Good sound advice. Thank you so much, Donna.
Oh, you are welcome. You have a wonderful day, and keep cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna. I'm a Northwest gal. I mean, here people start complaining about the heat in the Pacific Northwest when it gets to be 75. So our thermostats just work differently. But I did. I was on a speaking engagement. And I can remember being in Arizona, and I walked it, and it's a dry heat. It's a different heat than what you experience when you're in the islands in the Caribbean. There's a humidity that goes there. But, oh, my goodness, during the summer, 115, 120 degrees, unbelievable. You can literally fry an egg on the sidewalk. It's not a joke. You just want to make sure you use a no-stick spray. I'm only kidding. I wanted to share a wonderful story with you that came through me today. Let me give you the number here, 888-627-6008. I love animal stories. And there is a woman by the name of Caroline Lovner. Her story was sent to me by some wonderful people that put out a great, great newsletter on animals. In fact, you go to angelanimals.net, and you can find out more. Linda Anderson is just a doll, and they, for years, have been giving out stories. But they sent me this story about this dog, Bo. And Caroline, I'm mispronouncing her name, she had a husky. His name was Nikki. And sadly, all of us that have loved animals and we have brought them into our homes and they're our companions, our friends, they're just such a special part of our lives, they often will get ill. And not unlike people, they will have their physical challenges. And with Caroline's dog, Nikki, he became very ill with Cushing's disease. And this was a degenerative disc condition. And he was in very, very bad shape. And she said, well, we tried everything, and finally we realized that our dog was suffering so much that we had to release him and let him go. Her dog had lived to be 16, And this devastated her. This had been her buddy, her companion for so many years. And she felt so empty that she honestly didn't know what her purpose in life was. Well, Bo comes in to the picture. Now, we're going to take a break for just a minute. When we come back, I'll tell you the rest of this heartwarming story about a special dog named Bo and a woman with a very, very big heart named Caroline. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And let me tell you about Bo. Bo comes in to Caroline's life. He's a rescue from Maw-Paw Siberian Husky group. And she takes this rescue dog to her vet. And the vet really was paying attention to Bo and tells Caroline, you know what, I think you need to get involved in therapy animal work because this dog's temperament is just perfect. This is the sweetest animal. This dog is perfect for therapy work. Well, Caroline didn't know anything about therapy work, so she gets in touch with a group called Delta Society. It's a licensed pet partners team, and Michelle Siegel was in charge of this, and it's located in New York City. So Bo and Caroline end up taking this training class, and they end up becoming a pet partners team. And Caroline said that Michelle and the Delta Society just changed her life entirely. She said, I found my purpose where I had been so devastated. Here I bring this wonderful animal into my life. A vet makes an observation, and I am about doing what I really love to do. They go to the Ronald McDonald House in New York City. They have the Rivington House. They visit AIDS patients. They do events with the Best Friends Animal Society. They work with Children's Kids Olympics. She said, what this dog has taught me is what it is to be human. That's sort of like a strange remark for someone to say, isn't it? She said, I have seen such miracles occur with my dog, Bo. I've been witness to what this incredible animal is able to do. He was with a stroke patient. Would visit the stroke patient every time they went into this particular environment. The stroke patient learned how to talk. Because of the love of the animal and being able to interact with the animal, it gave the impetus for this individual that had not said a word from their stroke to speak. That is one thing. She said, he also has taught me what is most important. She said, being with this dog and being involved in this therapy work has just shifted my thinking. She said, helping others is what matters. Making just one person's day happier is what matters. And she said, this dog has also taught me who I am. She said, I'm pursuing a career, helping others, making a difference. And she said, if it wasn't for this dog, I would never have discovered this part of life. And she said, when we leave the medical facilities or whatever other facilities we visit, the patients there always are so grateful. And she said, I have to turn around and tell them, I want to thank you because you are allowing us to come in and share your space. So she said, here is my dog, Bo, who was brought into my life. She said, my first dog, Nikki, taught me about love and how to love. And she said, Bo has just taken it a step further. She said, if it wasn't for Nikki and Nikki passing, I wouldn't have Bo. If it wasn't for Bo, my life wouldn't have changed. She said, he's helped me to discover and understand the person I really am and why I'm here. And she said, I also want to thank the Delta Society for helping me to be able to find this. Isn't it marvelous? I mean, we have a woman on the show today, Kathy Anderson, who made a decision to just take a change. She dared. She's gutsy. She decides, I'm going to drop everything and go into something different. Here we have Caroline, who because of a pet dying, going through deep grief, she ends up bringing another pet into her life and finding serendipitous situations that wake her up into her own greater potential. And through it all, with both of these women, both of these people, neither one of them in their wildest dreams would have imagined that this was going to be the journey. Isn't that exciting? That means that you too can have something wonderful in your life. And sometimes we have changes come about because of a lot of pain. Sometimes we have devastating situations in our lives. Sometimes we have, because of those devastating situations, the opportunity to open up to newness, to open up into a greater capacity of ourselves. I just think these stories are marvelous. They're true stories. They're real stories about real people, real animals, real life. And that's what it is. It's about living. Living life with a sense of gusto, living life with a sense of purpose. I wanted to share with you who's coming on the show this week. We're going to be talking about real-time marketing. Monique Reese is going to be my guest tomorrow. We're talking business. How in the world can we take care of business? So many of you who are listening are self-employed, or maybe you're wanting to break into a venue of self-employment. How do you manage the business? And maybe you've already got a business of your own. Maybe you're trying to figure out a better way to do it. Well, Monique is going to give us some wonderful tips. And then we're going to be talking with Alexandra Parnes on Wednesday, Activating Joy. That is something we need to know, that we have a push button within ourselves where we can activate that. We need to know that we can do this. And Alexandra Parnes is going to help us. Save Your Home. This book really meant a lot to me. I know of a number of individuals that have lost their homes, not only because of the economic downturn and they losing their jobs, but there have been so many extenuating circumstances. I've known of people who have serious medical bills, all kinds of things, and they don't have to lose their home. Anna Cuevas is a woman that has put together information for those that need help. I have a friend. I learned that he actually implemented something similar to the program that she will be talking about, and it took him months, but it enabled him to save the place that he had invested in thousands of dollars, because all of a sudden his business, he was self-employed because of the economic downturn. He didn't have the cash coming in like he normally did. So this is significant. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about Extreme Intuitive Makeover. Ann Deidre is going to be my guest. So we've got a dynamic group of people this week, and that's part of the Donna Sebo Show. It's very eclectic. Tell your friends about it and share with them some of the information that you learn about, because that's what we want to do. We want to pass it on. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all you have to do is give me your first name or initial. That's all. And then relax, and I'll give you insights into yourself, your life, what is going on. Hopefully it will help you. Clutter. Oh, my goodness. It just seems like every time I get my office tidied up, I find within a month I've got stacks of paper all over the place. Do you have that same problem? It is an ongoing challenge. Well, Dr. Woody Woodard said, there are people that are more or less brain. They like to organize with lists or numbering system, but he said visual right-brainers prefer aesthetic strategies. So which side do you lean on? How about looking at old things and finding that you just have a tough time? You either might need it someday or it holds sentimental value. Well, the first response, you might need it someday, is you're a left-brainer. So what you want to do, you need to make it okay to let it go. So maybe you can get together a black bag, garbage bag, and label it, say this is my clutter batch, or maybe just a bin of some kind, and say this is clutter. This goes in the clutter bin, and then when you're ready, take it off to the Goodwill, Salvation Army, whatever it is, or in the trash, one or the other. And if you're a left-brainer, you're sort of goal-oriented. But that is one tip that you can use. And you'll find if you put it half a clutter box, you put it in the clutter box, you're going to find you never go back and you revisit it. Then you know it's time to get rid of it. And just do it one box at a time. Now, another way, if you really are sentimental about things, you might want to create a memento album and just put things together. I've got a girlfriend who is she is just phenomenal when it comes to collecting things. And right now she's got a major project because she's got all these photos. Oops, I'll have to pass it all on the rest. Well, we'll just have to share more information about this later. This is Donna. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're very special. I'm so delighted you were able to share this hour with me. Tell your friends. We'll be back here tomorrow. Talking business. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.